And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
We're talking about this and that. I'm not going to review it because then we go backwards instead of forwards. We're shocked at the president's naked power grabs and the absolute vacuum on the other side. We're shocked at the concerted effort between the New York Times, Obama, and others to revise, eliminate the U.S. Constitution, throw it out and start all over again. And we're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court and things of that nature. All boring stuff that you probably would have gone to sleep over in high school. I know I did. I couldn't take courses like this. And as I said, the minute the teacher started talking about the Constitution or, you know, the Founding Fathers, it was like, you know, sleep time. But, you know, as you get older, you realize there was a reason that the high school teachers of our time try to instill in us the wisdom of the Founding Fathers, the genius, as a matter of fact, of the Founding Fathers, and the genius of the founding documents, especially the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Without them, we're nothing. We're zero. We're just factotums in the wind.
Savage. Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Middle East on the brink. North Korea on the brink. Iran increasing its aggression. Elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can't happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989898 for a free info kit. S-A-V-A-G-E, text it to 989898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989898. And when you have a president like Obama who is frustrated that he can't force Congress to implement every aspect of what he said, listen to it. Listen to clip one again. You have to hear it.
What's frustrated people is that I have not been able to force Congress to implement every aspect of what I said in 2008. Well, you know, it turns out that our founders designed a system that makes it more difficult to bring about change than I would like sometimes.
See, Obama relaxed because he was talking to the subterranean Matt Lauer, who was a stooge of General Electric. And Matt Lauer had the golden opportunity to stand up for freedom, but he didn't because he doesn't even know what freedom is. He's nothing but a, well, you know what I'm going to say, and I can't use such words on a national show. I'll call him a subterranean. That's my new catchphrase. For the vermin on the left, the rats, the vermin, the snakes, the cockroaches, the lice who hate our freedoms, who fear the people, who detest every freedom that you have. So I now use one catchphrase called subterranean because it summarizes my feelings in a more genteel manner. And of course, as you well know, we all must be very genteel since we have a sophist for president who is extremely genteel and extremely dangerous in the fact that he uses his gentility to literally usurp the U.S. Constitution as often as he can. Now, if I were advising the Republicans, which of course is not the case, because A, I'm not a Republican, and B, they don't listen to this show. I don't know who they listen to, but they're committing hara-kiri in front of our eyes. I would play the Obama soundbite during the campaign. I wouldn't stop playing it. When he says, I've not been able to... Just play the Force Congress piece once again.
What's frustrated people is that I have not been able to force Congress to implement every aspect of what I said in 2008.
Well, Stop right there. So then if it's Romney, they play that and they say, do you want a president who wants to force Congress to follow his will? No. Vote for a true Democrat. Vote for a man who loves the Constitution. Vote for Mitt Romney. They won't run it, though, because if they run it, you're liable to get the impression that you're not living in a republic or a democracy, which they don't want you to have. So let's move on to the callers on many other topics. And there is news out there, you know, just that it's not that exciting because it's just more about the corruption of the Obama administration. You know, little things like that. Another $500 million loan went up in smoke for another fake electric car company given to them by the slush fund called the DOE, run by that former a college teacher who won a Nobel Prize in physics. Therefore, he's a genius. They used him just as a stooge, a front man. College vending machine sells morning after pill. Should U.S. arm Syrian opposition? John Dunn McCain says that it's time for the U.S. should consider sending weapons to rebels. Moron. Moron McCain does it again. Do you agree with McCain? Do you think the U.S. should get involved now in Syria? Why don't you have Saudi Arabia get involved in Syria? Answer, because they're as despotic as Syria. Why don't you have the European Union do something other than watch child porn in Brussels? Answer, because they like to sit and watch child porn in Brussels. Do you think the U.S. should consider sending weapons to so-called rebels in Syria? Now, let me make another prediction for you. Since I'm the only one in the media who saw what was coming in the Arab Crescent, in Egypt, etc., and I told you what was happening long before anybody else. That's right, mark my words, old Mike Savage. Old Doc Savage saw it before anybody else. I told you what was going to emerge. I told you that the murderous, freedom-hating, women-hating, U.S.-hating Islamists would win in Egypt. And I told you that would happen, even though Hillary Clinton was going about with her fake smile, giving the big lie about the Arab Spring. It was blowing up in their faces. Now we see what they have wrought there. Now, as bad as Assad is, and he's pretty bad, do you actually think that the so-called opposition is going to be any more democratically inclined than Assad? I will tell you they won't be. I will tell you right now that the Syrian opposition, so-called, will be as corrupt and as anti-U.S. as are the Libyan so-called rebels who we supported, like fools. They will be just as corrupt and just as Islamist as the Islamists who have taken over Egypt. So am I arguing that I'm in favor of the bloodshed? Of course not, but you'll say I said that, which doesn't matter to me because you always distort what I say. My enemies always distort what I say. What's important is that what I say is what I say, and what I say is what I write, and what I write is what I say, and what I say is what I write. So I'm not afraid of what my opposition says about me. All that matters is that you look at my statements for what they are in my books and in my articles and on my radio show. So I'm asking you a big question. Should the U.S. consider sending weapons to rebels as John the Claude thinks we should, McCain? I mean, is this guy as stupid as he sounds? Lawmakers suggest U.S. consider arming Syrian rebels as graphic videos emerge. John Dummy McCain and other lawmakers called Tuesday for the U.S. to consider arming the Syrian opposition as new videos emerge purporting to show the bloody aftermath of the weekend's massacre in the Syrian city of Homs. The bloodletting has got to stop, said McCain, the shame. The Obama administration, though, pushed back on the idea, stressing instead the options of humanitarian assistance and increased international pressure. I actually agree with Obama. We don't need another war. I'm sorry, I agree with him. I mean, even a stopped clock is right, you know, twice a day. We don't think more arms into Syria is the answer, said State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland. Well, maybe they learned their lesson in Egypt, in Libya. They sent weapon after weapon after weapon, and what has it gotten them? Remember, Russia and China blocked the Arab League proposal calling for Syrian President Assad to step down. So if we were to send arms to Syria, we'd be going to war with Russia and China. We'd have a de facto war with Russia and China. Something's wrong with this picture. That's very bad. People are dying. I mean, Assad's a murderous, brutal dictator. We know that. But who do you think's waiting in the wings in these despotic nations? What do you think, they're going to be democratically oriented people? Never. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They don't have the basis to even understand what a free people are. This is the problem that you don't understand. Many of you are brainwashed children of the liberal establishment, and you think that all people are equal around the world in terms of educational values, in terms of education and values. And you think that if they have freedom, they're going to use it for the betterment of the majority of the people. You don't understand that they don't understand that. You don't understand that they have no such ideas in their, it's not even in their DNA. They don't know what freedom is. All it means to them is grabbing as much power as they can, as fast as they can, and asserting it against their enemies. And so when you combine that with the religious fanaticism in the Middle East, what you have is exactly what Hillary Clinton, Obama, George Soros, Brzezinski, and Carter have fostered in Egypt all the way to Libya. And now they're calling for it in Syria? No, I disagree. Not one caller on this. I don't know what's wrong with the people. They're not interested in anything. I think the American people are jaded. I think you're wiped out. I believe that Newt Gingrich has destroyed America. I personally believe that Newt Gingrich is responsible for the destruction of the American mind. I personally believe that Fatso has destroyed the Republican Party and the Republic itself. I'll be right back.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We're talking about Syria. We've moved from the emerging dictatorship in America to the overt dictatorship of Syria. And we see the slaughter of innocents, or shall I say opponents, to the Assad regime. And we all oppose violence of that kind. However, we are now in a situation where the idiot John McCain, who encouraged arming the Libyan rebels, and we could see who they are today, the Libyan rebels, as you well know, are worse than Gaddafi was thus far, and they've yet to assume maximum power. Now John McCain is saying we should send weapons to the Syrian opposition, and I say idiotic, and I agree with the Obama State Department, which says that that's not going to help things, and we should use humanitarian and diplomatic maneuvers in the interim. And I happen to agree with them. As terrible as the slaughter is, it would only be worse if we sent more weapons and more such incendiary items into Syria at this time. We have a caller from Texas. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, hi, Michael. Yeah, Jim Smith. I really appreciate what you're saying, taking a stand against John McCain's advocating sending arms to the rebels in Syria. We need to get out of that area and let those folks take care of themselves. It's a real shame that such atrocities occur in other nations, but we just can't be everywhere all the time.
And no, haven't we learned from Iraq and now Iran, where we have had no effect whatsoever in Iran? Afghanistan, rather. Haven't we learned that foreign intervention doesn't always work to the advantage of the American people?
Well, we should have learned. But I tell you, Michael, perpetual war is one way enslave their own people.
Why is McCain such a war hawk when his instincts are always wrong here? Look what he did in Libya. He was wrong about arming the Libyan rebels. So hasn't he learned from that? Obviously not.
No, they haven't learned. There's obviously some agenda that we're not aware of that they're pursuing.
Well, I'm going to tell you, here's my fear about what the agenda is for a guy like McCain. He fronts for many military contractors. and war is good for them. That's the unfortunate ugliness of what I think is going on here.
Well, that's true. That's that military-industrial complex is what Dwight Eisenhower warned the country about.
That's right. Beware the military-industrial complex, which I've changed to the government media complex. But here we have Lindsey Graham suggesting arming the Syrian opposition. Joe Lieberman has done the same. Why don't they just put on a uniform and go over there and fight with the rebels?
I wish they would.
Why wouldn't McCain and Graham and Lieberman just get on uniforms and become generals in the Syrian opposition army?
Well, they know that the generals of our military and admirals of our military are not allowed to use their military expertise to win wars, and they don't want to be there. They would rather be controlling those generals and admirals and blaming those generals and admirals.
Well, there's an interesting article that I posted on michaelsavage.com about a lieutenant colonel who's been through 7 or 8 tours in the war zones, and he says it's a complete lie coming out of Afghanistan. We're losing at every turn.
Wow.
It's horrible. This is a lieutenant colonel, combat lieutenant colonel, who says the men are dying to get out of Afghanistan. We've had no impact whatsoever. The Afghan police are corrupt. The Afghan government is corrupt. And that the administration and the politicians are lying about these so-called successes in Afghanistan. McCain should surely know that.
Well, he should. I don't know why he won't believe it. We've got a congressman, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. He's not my congressman. Ted Poe is mine. But Alan West is, I'm certainly hopeful that he gets reelected, but the people in Republicans in Florida don't want him, and they're
I had Alan West, Congressman West, on my show last Friday, and he told the sad truth that the Republicans have gerrymandered his district to an extent that it's now a Democrat majority district. They want him out of business because he is a true conservative and a combat veteran. That's what the Republican Party has become. It's basically Democrat light. I thank you for the call. Any other callers, guys, on the Syrian question of whether we should be funding the opposition? Edward, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. How are you today? Let me tell you about my background. Maybe you will understand where I'm coming from. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay. I used to be a negotiator in the Red Cross in the Middle East, and the first and last lesson I've learned that you cannot negotiate or help Islamic movement. It's very, very divisive, and they are planning on their own plan. They will fool you, take your money, take your help, and then they will turn around and stab you in the back. Now,
Wait, let me see if I follow you. I think I do. You're saying that the opposition is not unified and fundamentally they're not worthy of support?
I'm saying we should not fund anybody who is Islamic. And I'm sorry if I offend anybody, because the Islamic laws and Islamic beliefs are against our beliefs. So what they do is they will use us as a key to enter the door. And when they enter in the door, they will close the door behind them on us. So this is what happened
Interesting.
In Iraq. This is what
so,
happened.
Right, well, that's what happened to us in Iraq. That's what's happening to us in Afghanistan. And now McCain wants us to do it in Syria again?
They will do it in Syria. Now, I tell you what, if the United States, Reagan time, listened to the voice of reason to the Christians in Lebanon, we could have had a base in Lebanon and would have been a big threat to everybody. But we lost that base because of
yes.
Our,
oh, I remember that horror of what happened in Beirut. It was a horror, just a horror. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back here on the Savage Nation.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
What the topic really is democracy. So why should we be concerned about Syria is the question. McCain says we should send arms to the Syrian so-called rebels. Apparently that fool hasn't learned his mistakes yet. In arming Libyan rebels, what have we wrought? Are the Libyan rebels our friends? Are you crazy? They're going to be far worse than Gaddafi. Just as the Muslim fanatics who have taken over Egypt are going to be far worse for us than was Mubarak. Just as Ahmadinejad and that band of psychotics are far worse than was the leader of Iran at that time, who they drove out, a pro-Western man. They drove him out on a rail. They ushered in worldwide Islamic terror around the globe. That was Jimmy Carter. So now we have it happening all over again under a Carter II. That would be Obama. That's the mini Carter. At the best, he's a mini Carter, although I don't even think he's a mini Carter. At least Carter served in the U.S. submarine fleet. Obama was a street organizer, while we could say Jimmy Carter was at least a patriot and served in the U.S. military, which is a beautiful thing. Have we not learned our lesson? Should the U.S. arm Syrian rebels? I say absolutely not. If anyone's going to arm them, it should be the European Union. Where's the European Union on this? Why don't they do anything along those lines? What is this? The United States is the world's policeman? We haven't learned from our disaster in Iraq, our disaster in Afghanistan, now we're going to get involved in Syria? This is total insanity. Virginia Beach, Toby, do you agree or disagree? Should we be in Syria? Yes or no?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Definitely not. I think they need to handle their own issues. We fought for our freedom. They should fight for theirs.
Well, we fought for our freedom, and Obama says that it's not free enough for him because he can't impose his will on the Congress. How do you like that statement today?
Oh, see, I don't like that. I don't like all the freedoms that they're taking away from us either over the last 10 years. So
I don't either. But thank you, Toby. Should U.S. arm Syrian opposition? John McCain has learned nothing from his mistakes, and he says that we should send weapons to the rebels. And many of you, of course, know this is another disaster. See, there's something you should know about government, all governments, good, bad, and indifferent. They're dysfunctional. In fact, the more democratic a government, the more dysfunctional it is. Let me repeat that. I don't know if you understand the theorem. The more democratic a government is, the more dysfunctional it is. The more authoritarian a government, the less dysfunctional it is, because it gets everything done that it wants immediately, or else people wind up in internment camps or in death camps. So I think a dysfunctional government is a sign of a healthy democracy, which is the lie that Obama's putting out. Oh, Congress is the problem. They're standing in the way of his progress. You don't understand the big lie, do you? They're supposed to stand in the way of his progress if it's, let's say, against the will of the people or unconstitutional or too expensive, whatever. They're supposed to stand in a dictator's way. That's how it was set up. And the only countries where governments are extremely functional are the dictatorships. North Korea, very functional government, extremely functional. They starve the people to death, and they live like kings and princes at the top. Very functional government. But we have a dysfunctional government. Israel's a very dysfunctional government. I don't know if you know that. The Knesset is a marketplace of ideas. They argue all the time. They're at odds with each other over everything because Israel's a true democracy, so it has a dysfunctional government in that regard. That's a healthy sign. Saudi Arabia is a very, very smoothly efficient government because it's a dictatorship. So listen to what I just said to you. I mean, look, what can I say to you? Wisdom comes from various sources, and what you just heard is quite wise. Take it for what it is. New York, WOR, Kathy, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I was listening to President Obama Friday after the release of the jobs number, the so-called 8.3%, the decrease in jobs, and he was speaking on a number of topics, and he got to the topic of green energy, which always has to be squeezed into anything he says. And I just bristled when I heard him say, and I've heard him say this before, he said that he was going to double down on green energy. And it made me
Well, you've got to remember something. The green energy rubric is a slush fund for Democrat donors at the highest level. You understand that? That when you put $1 billion into a fake company, some of it flows back to your campaign?
Well, they're not donors. I think they're more like bettors.
I disagree with you. How do we know how much of the Solyndra money wound up back in the hands of Democrats?
We'll never know, but it's not good. It's not good for
No, it is not good. No, it's a slush fund for the Democrat machine. That's what green energy is. It's sort of this PC area. Oh, I'm for green energy. Oh, who's against green energy? Well, anybody who knows that green energy is fraudulent is against green energy. We'd all like cars that run on the sun. I'd love to have a car that runs on sunlight. It doesn't exist. Sacramento, Marianne, on the Syrian question. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I want to compliment you. You're the only one taking a correct interpretation of what's occurring in Syria. I have extended family there and also in Beirut. And the media, unfortunately, is not getting out that what is really occurring is, as you are articulating, a clash between the Saudi faction, including the Kurds, and the Christians who are aligned with the Alawites. And the Alawites.
Well, let me see if I can follow this. Who comprises the majority of the Syrian opposition?
It's Kurds currently, and those who are Sunni, some Turks, because Syria is comprised of many different people since the changing of the border, and Homs is traditionally a city that is Sunni.
Okay, so is this a Sunni-Shiite battle again?
It's a Sunni Christians, the Syrian Jews, and the Assyrians, A-S-S-Y, Assyrians, are aligned together with the Alawites, which, of course, is what Assad is. And the opposition is being fueled by the Saudis. It's Saudi money due to the
fact... I see. So Assad, as dictatorial as he is, has the support of the Christians and the Jewish Syrian community?
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I really truly didn't know that. But I do know this, that if we haven't learned by our mistakes in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya, when are we going to learn?
Well, there's a large Assyrian, as you know, Assyria, A-S-S-Y-R.
No, I know. I have an Assyrian friend who explained to me who the Assyrian people are. I actually have someone of that background in San Francisco, so it's not a stranger to me.
Right. Yeah, well, that's basically what's going on.
So am I the only one who got this right instinctually? Is that it?
Yes, because you understand the historical imperative relative to the breakup of the Ottoman Empire. And that's basically, you're still dealing with that sort of factionalism.
But why is it that McCain would be so dumb that he would say send weapons to the so-called opposition?
Well, he's an idiot and he doesn't understand the sophistication of what the opposition comprises.
And does he also work for the defense contractors who would benefit from sending weapons to Syria, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I think that McCain is long known to be part of the military-industrial complex and fundamentally is a salesman for these corporations.
The first al-Qaeda enclave was in Arizona. You know, that's why you had the whistleblower out of the Phoenix office of the FBI. So, Arizona.
Oh, you mean right under McCain's nose?
Yes. And this is
wow.
All,
what a disaster he's been. Ever since he set off that rocket on the aircraft carrier, he's been a disaster for America, continuously setting off rockets in Congress. This guy is a rolling danger to the country.
Well, I grew up in Coronado, so we all know about McCain. So, you know, Navy.
Wow. He is so misunderstood by the American people. I mean, he's got our sympathy because he suffered for so many years in the at the torture of the hands of the Vietnamese in the Hanoi Hilton, but that doesn't justify what he's been doing ever since.
No, my mother worked for Admiral Stockdale, so everybody in Coronado knows McCain's storyline, you know. So.
Wow. Well, at the end of the conversation between us, Marianne, the bottom line is you say don't arm the so-called Syrian opposition.
They're a false opposition. It's an internal...
They're a false opposition.
Correct.
So, what, you're not arguing that Assad is a benevolent leader, are you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But what we don't want is another, we don't want any more Christians and affiliated peoples who were at least sophisticated and educated massacred. And that's exactly what's going to happen.
Aha. Uh-huh. So Assad is, I see what you're saying. So the opposition is going to be what? More or less the Islamists again, the uneducated Islamists?
Assad speaks fluent French. He's an ophthalmologist. He's highly educated.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. Mengele was a doctor, but I mean, so that he has a professional background doesn't distinguish him in any way necessarily. But what I'm asking you, are the opponents to Assad fundamentally going to fall in line with the Islamist crescent that is emerging in the Middle East?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's a very important point, because I intuitively sense that. I intuitively sense that the so-called opposition in Syria, who Anderson Cooper is crying for again on a television set, because they look so good in tight dungarees and they all have cell phones, so therefore they all must be modern and good. Again, he's feeding into the propaganda line of the emerging Islamist factions in the Middle East, as the moron did in Egypt. Okay, I see it. Well, I guess it takes a little time and patience to really understand what's going on and not be a knee-jerk liberal who says, well, he's a bad guy and they're the good guy. I'll be right back.
Savage. Home of borders, language, culture. The Savage Nation.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
And the band played on as the good ship America has struck the iceberg, with the captain at the helm saying that the crew doesn't listen to him and he has no ability to tell the crew what to do while the ship is going down. We have a bishop in Harrisburg, PA, who says that Hitler and Mussolini would love our public school system. Here finally is a voice coming out of the church that gives all free men hope. Listen to clip 20.
In the totalitarian government, they would love our system. This is what Hitler and Mussolini and all them tried to establish. A monolith. So all the children will be educated in one set of beliefs and one way of doing things.
A Pennsylvania bishop says Hitler and Mussolini would love our public school system. Bishop Joseph McFadden, I don't know if you listen to the Savage Nation, but you're a hero to all of us for daring to break with the church and stand up to the incredible dictatorship that we see emerging under our noses. But the issue today that we're talking about right now in the Savage Nation is really not the educational system, nor the corruption of the administration, which is astonishing, a daily astonishment. We are talking instead about Syria. Syria, if you look at the map, is adjacent to Iraq. We have not learned from the debacle in Iraq, and now John the Shane McCain says we should be arming the rebels. International pressure grows, bombing of rebels resumes by Assad, and the U.S. now is told by McCain and others, leave him in the warmonger. McCain, the warmonger, a few others, that we should be sending at least weapons to Syria. They haven't learned what disasters they have fostered from Libya to Egypt, let alone the disasters of Iraq and Afghanistan. But now they're saying, now let's get involved in Syria. So I ask the American people who listen to the Savage Nation what you think. That's what I'm asking you. What do you think? Do you agree with McCain that we should be sending arms to the Syrian people? I don't think so. And I know so. Some disagree. Bala in Idaho, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Ms. Dr. Savage. I just must say, look to our history. Look to our Revolutionary War. Who helped us during that? The French. The French actually supplied us weapons because the British were bringing in hired guns, so as they call them, the Huns. I know that's a racist term for the Germans.
But wait, okay, that's a good point. But did the French do it out of altruism or because they wanted a part of the natural resources of the United States?
I think out of both. Out of both. We have interest there as well for preserving peace and stability around Israel.
Well, what do we actually need in Syria?
We need to have a nice, stable area in Syria. We need to have it stable.
We need a stable Syria. Could it get more stable than what we have with Assad?
It needs to.
I mean, Assad's not at war with anybody, is he? Are you sure that the opposition will not go to war with its neighbors, including Israel, immediately if it attains power?
We've gone to war with Mexico. We went to war with France during our revolution.
So boy, now you're changing the topic again. We're talking about Syria. I think we need to focus on one nation.
Absolutely.
So let's go back. Did we win anything from going into Iraq?
Did we win anything? Absolutely not. No.
Okay. Have we won anything by meddling in Afghanistan?
Absolutely not.
All right. So we're pragmatists. Have we been right by backing the so-called Libyan rebels and killing Gaddafi?
Yeah, because we didn't put boots on the ground. We just gave them weapons. We helped them.
But do you know what's has emerged in Libya? They're pulling the toenails out of diplomats from other countries.
Oh, hey.
They're monsters. These are Islamic monsters.
I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying we do very terrible things.
But wait, what about Egypt? We had Mubarak, who was our best friend for almost 40 years, and Hillary Clinton and Obama and Soros overthrew Mubarak and told us that it would be a new dawn in Egypt. You know what's going on in Egypt, don't you?
Yeah, it's birthing democracy. We had a revolutionary war ourselves.
No, it's not a burgeoning democracy, a burgeoning Islamic dictatorship. What world are you living in? Are you saying the Muslim Brotherhood is a good thing?
Absolutely not, but freedom is a good thing.
Wait a minute. That's who is taking control in Egypt.
All control of Egypt? No, sir, not all control. You're sensationalizing it, and I respect you like you don't even know.
Wait a minute. I'm not sensationalizing it. The Muslim Brotherhood is becoming the dominant political force in Egypt.
Are they going to go to war with Israel? Are they going to keep their thumbs on
Let's put Israel aside. They actually have said that they will. They actually have said, yes, that's one of the chief things that they want to do. Opponents to Assad in Syria, they have said that the minute they have power, they're going to re-seize the Golan Heights, setting off World War III. I think you've got to see the chess game here, not the checkers game.
Well, listen, Assad is a puppet for Iran. We absolutely know that. The Assad is being propped up by Iran. So anything
I don't know that we know that. Where did we read that Assad is a puppet of Iran? It looks to me like the opposition are puppets of Iran.
I highly doubt that. I know Assad is in bed with Iran wholeheartedly.
Let's say, Bala, that we disagree on who's in bed with who. What business do we have in Syria right now after all the mistakes this country has made ever since Vietnam?
You know, I believe that we have an obligation as a free country who was helped at one point against the biggest, most large...
Wait a minute, you're talking in a vacuum, though, Bala. We're no longer this rich, great, wealthy, powerful nation that can go around the world helping other countries. We're a basket case ourselves. We're wholly owned by China and other countries. Where are we supposed to get the money from?
I don't count us out there, brother. I know you're a real American. I know you are. I hear it from your heart. I listen to your show all the time. Don't get me wrong. I hear where you're coming from. But, you know, we have something greater to export to everyone, and that is freedom. And, yes, they need to fight for it, but we need to help them with real weapons.
Well, I understand the idealism that you are expressing, but in this case, I think you're on the wrong side of the equation. It's very similar to Mubarak. As dictatorial as he was, as oppressive as his regime was, he was a better friend to America than are the emerging Islamic fascists in Egypt. And I would say that quotient holds in Syria as well. As horrendous as Assad is, I believe that what is waiting in the wings will be much worse, especially for our security interests. Moreover, you're ignoring the fact that China and Russia have vetoed any attempts to intervene in Syria. You know that this would put us at odds with China and Russia, which is not a good thing right now.
No, I hear you, and I respect.
All right, well, let's go away, friends. You know, we don't have to disagree with each other and hate each other as a result. We're not Democrats, after all. We're decent Americans and conservatives. We can disagree and go away, friends.
Savage.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.